This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
You guys are listening to the Jordan Garber Now podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Jen entering the podcast, weighing in at 150 pounds, hailing from West Kildonan in Manitoba, he is the headliner, Jordan Garber!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jordan Garber Now podcast. And with your guys' support, we continue to get bigger and bigger each and every single week. Now, tonight, we have two great interviews coming up with none other than Big Cliff Corleone and Chico Adams. But before that, I want to get down to business a little bit here first. First off, before I do that, I want to thank our new advertising markets all the way from Madagascar, Indonesia, and Brazil. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Jordan Garber Now podcast. And without your contributions, this podcast is not a possibility. But you know, one thing that's been on my mind right now is the local wrestling scene. How could I get so much press? How could I get so much reach? Africa, from Asia, even from the United States. Yet Winnipeg is still one of the last on the list in terms of top markets. And I want Winnipeg to be a top market. So I'm going to issue a challenge here to any local wrestler. Any Winnipeg wrestler here sitting in the back. You want to make a name for yourself. You want to be on a top podcast. I'm going to offer you an invitation. I'm offering any local Winnipeg wrestler a shot to be on the Jordan Garber Now podcast each and every single week. You guys are listening to the Jordan Garber Now podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Gentlemen, entering the podcast, weighing in at 150 pounds, hailing from West Kildonan, Manitoba, he is the headliner, Jordan Garber!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jordan Garber Now podcast. And with your guys' support, we continue to get bigger and bigger each and every single week. Now, tonight, we have two great interviews coming up with none other than Big Cliff Corleone and Chico Adams. But before that, I want to get down to business a little bit here first. First off, before I do that, I want to thank our new advertising markets all the way from Madagascar, Indonesia, and Brazil. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Jordan Garber Now podcast. And without your contributions, this podcast is not a possibility. But you know, one thing that's been on my mind right now is the local wrestling scene. How could I get so much press? How could I get so much reach from Africa, from Asia, even from the United States? Yet Winnipeg is still one of the last on the list in terms of top markets. And I want Winnipeg to be a top market. So I'm going to issue a challenge here to any local wrestler. Any Winnipeg wrestler here sitting in the back. You want to make a name for yourself. You want to be on a top podcast. I'm going to offer you an invitation. I'm offering any local Winnipeg wrestler a shot to be on the Jordan Garber Now podcast each and every single week. What I'm going to do then is spread the word of Winnipeg wrestling to our other markets and create Winnipeg wrestling to be an even bigger faction, an even bigger product. And I look forward to providing more great interviews with you guys. But be prepared, Winnipeg Wrestling, because Jordan Garber Now is knocking back on the door. And I'm issuing a challenge, an open challenge to any local Winnipeg wrestler in the back who thinks they have what it takes to be on a top podcast and be a top contender. So before I leave it to you guys and you guys enjoy the rest of the show, boys, the ball is surely and most truly in your court.
Did it kind of give you an at-home feel,
you know, working with guys like TJ Brad and AJ Sanchez and learning new things, or did you just take it as another place to make a name for yourself?
I was never really just looking to make names for myself. It was more of just I loved working with different people and having, you know, different experiences, you know, being a big guy, always working with smaller guys, and working, getting a chance to work with guys that were, you know, my size or a little bigger. It was always fun. So we're, you know, working with TJ Brad, working with, you know, the Axe, guys like that. It was just, it was awesome. You know, especially AJ Sanchez. Like, I was watching him when he first started training, and then I started, you know, working him a little bit there too. It was just fun.
What was, like, the Winnipeg scene like during that time, you know, during the mid-2000s, you know, with a lot of competition and everything? Was I correct on that statement? Was the scene super hot, or was it just starting to get super hot?
From what I remember, like, I mean, like, at that time, I wasn't considering myself really anything. It was just, you know, I was looking at this as something I wanted to do, and I was kind of living, you know, living my own little dream at the time. But, I mean, from what I remember, there was, like, there was a good 5, maybe 6 shows a month, different promotions, different places.
Right on. And I believe, too, as well, you know, Steel Town Pro Wrestling had its beginning in around 2008, I believe. That's where I went to my first show, CW Fight for the Right. And then after that, CWE starts beginning. So you're getting some fresh work here in Steel Town and CWE. Did you enjoy working for those two during that time?
I did, actually. When I kind of went back, I got a call from Danny asking me to come back and do some managing stuff. Before that, I spent 2 years kind of fixing myself. I got hit by a car in 2007. I had knee surgery and rehab and stuff like that, and I was a stay-at-home dad for a while, so kind of wrestling just took a back seat. And then when Danny gave me the call, and I started doing stuff for him, and then next thing I know, Rob was asking me to come out and do Steel Town and stuff. And, it was fun again. You know, it was kind of like you know, when I first started, you know, going out to shows, getting excited to do them again.
And, you know, Premier Championship Wrestling, you know, you can bring up any type of promotion you want. Premier Championship Wrestling, WFX, which you also work for, CWE, SPW, WPW. But out of all of those, you know, I'm not going to leave it down to one guy because that's a pretty tough question. But if you could bring it down to just a few guys off the top of your head in terms of chemistry, who are some of those guys that you had some good chemistry with working with?
But the most fun I've had was probably working with Mike Mission. I had a lot of good matches with La Sombra, just for him being a smaller guy. I could do a lot more, and I can kind of make him do a lot more. One guy I had the opportunity to work a few times was Billy Gunn, and yeah, that was just amazing and fun all on its own.
Oh, wow. Is there anything that Billy kind of taught you during that match that you'll always remember, or was it just one of those matches where it's just, you know, it was just like a dream come true sort of deal?
It was definitely one of my dream come trues, for sure. But the one thing I can remember the most that he always told me was to calm down. I was super nervous because it was like, I know I've always worked a lot of guys. I've worked a lot of, you know, local guys and stuff like that. I never had the opportunity to work, you know, somebody to that kind of caliber or that kind of name. So the first time I wrestled, I believe it was in Dryden, and it was, yeah, it was definitely, it was a little bit, I was a little nerve, a little bit, you know, nerve ridden, but he kept telling me to calm down, and I did, and it turned out to be really good. He said it went okay. I didn't get any criticism. He didn't kill me, so obviously I did a good job somewhere.
Awesome. And this is more of like a community sort of question. You know, a lot of fans here listen to this podcast, and a lot of them I give credit to. They like to help out in their community. What's one positive message that you could spread out there to the world right now during this tough time?
Right now, I actually joined this cruise club on Facebook. It's called COVID-19 Cruises for Kids. And what they do is that people will, you know, look to them and request a drive. now everybody, you know, everybody, the car culture is huge here as well as wrestling. So with me having a different kind of vehicle, you know, something you normally don't see all the time, you know, just kind of giving back, and you know, it's a simple honk and just waving at a kid and saying happy birthday just kind of makes them feel better. You know, especially with these difficult times, kids can't have birthdays, and younger ones, you know, don't understand the meaning of, you know, oh, we got to stay home, we got to stay clean. You know, so it's just something like that. It just takes, what, 15, 20 minutes out of your day, a little bit of your gas. You know, drive by. Just look it up on Facebook, COVID-19 cruises for kids. You know, I believe they were on the news recently, too. You know, it's something simple. It's a way to give back that doesn't cost anything other than your time.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you when it comes to things like that. Because one simple word does make a difference. You know, I always like when I go shopping, especially frontline workers, you know, this is important too. You know, show some simple respect, a simple thank you, or like I appreciate it, or have a great day, really makes someone go a long way. So if you're, you know, you don't know what these cashiers or these essential workers are going through right now. So just smiling at them is going to make them get through it. You know, we're in this as a team. And, you know, if everyone did one kind thing together, the world would be a great place, that's for sure.
Like the way I see it is if you just pay it forward. Like, I've done a lot of volunteering over my time, too, and I've used wrestling to help me with that, too. Like, there's been times at shows where we've done, you know, tin for the bin. We donated one time from a CWE show. We donated, like, I filled up my half ton with a bunch of canned foods, and we delivered them to the Salvation Army because I volunteered there, you know. So, yeah. I mean, I volunteer at Christmas time, and a lot of times when I deliver hampers, I see kids that recognize me from shows, you know. So it's giving back little stuff that just makes me feel the most rewarded.
It is definitely the most important, that is for sure. And where can people follow you on social media, Cliff?
You can follow me just by my – you can find my I guess my work page, which would be my actual career, Toro Career Development. You can find me on Facebook. You could follow Clifford Sanderson on Facebook. You know, check out updates of what shows once they start happening again. You know, due to my health concerns, I don't want to, you know, I would love to participate in, you know, some of the live stream stuff going on right now, but I just, it's not really a risk I want to take right now. But, you know, once everything clears up, I do hope to be back to wrestling and, you know, have some matches. And there's still some stuff I want to do. And I think I got a little bit of fuel left in the old tank.
Well, if you're getting back in wrestling and after this whole coronavirus thing is over, be sure to send a message to the Canadian Crusher, AJ Sanchez, because he had some choice words for Jordan Garber on the CWE stream last week. So I'm counting on you to take care of him when you're back in action.
Oh, for sure, man. You know, if you want to be in my corner, for sure, we'll get that done, and we'll show AJ, you know, to pick on someone his own size.
Let's get her done. Thank you again, Big Cliff.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Are you that wrestling fan looking for that perfect television package to meet your needs? Well, Real Aid Media has the perfect option for you. With the Wrestling Box promo, you pay for the box for $199.95. After that, you're only paying $29.95 per month with no contracts and no obligations. Real Aid Media also provides marketing services operating in 5 countries. To book an appointment or to get your wrestling package, go to stevenbenzelock.bookify.com. That's Steven Benzelock at Bookify.com. Check it out. Real Aid Media, providing great wrestling content for a cheap price. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jordan Garber Now. You can listen to the podcast here on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. We are here with none other. This guy's been around in a lot of professional wrestling lately. He's been on AEW. He's been on WWE. He's been on multiple top independent promotions. None other than Chico Adams. Chico, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing excellent. Better now than I'm talking to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I remember scheduling this interview did become a little bit of a kerfuffle because I forgot the time zone. So after finally rescheduling everything properly on my end, I'm glad that we were finally able to connect. But my question to you is, where did it all begin for Chico Adams? You know, WXW and the Wild Samoans had a huge influence on your career. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So, I started actually training in May 2011. So I'm from Massachusetts. I graduated college from the University of Massachusetts. And then a week later, I actually moved to Ocala, Florida. I didn't train with the Funk. I'm sorry, I didn't train with Wild Samoans right away. I trained with the Funk in Ocala. I was there for a few months. And then I ended up switching to a school in Orlando. And that's where I learned quite a bit. I trained with Lindsay Dorado, who's currently in WWE. I trained with Jesus Rodriguez, who's also known as Ricardo Rodriguez, and many others. And, you know, it was there that I also went to a lot of different seminars. I always like to learn from a bunch of different people and you know, try to mold myself off learning from other people who have come before me. And then I actually switched over to the Wild Samoans in very early 2017. And, yeah, these last 3 years have really picked up for me in wrestling altogether for 9 years. But I've competed in over a dozen states throughout the country. I've been very fortunate to have wrestled for, like you mentioned, WWE, AEW, MLW, Evolve, FIB, WXW. And I'm just trying to work with many different people, many different places, and just grow as much as I can as a performer.
Definitely. And a big part of that was, you know, Pro Wrestling Extreme in 2012. You had about 5 matches there. You know, this was a year after, you know, you finished your developments and everything and you learned the basics. So working there and having some good exposure, a handful of matches working there, did that generate a good experience for you at the time?
Absolutely. So, yeah, my first match was in June 2011 in Ocala. And then about a year and a half later, I mean, I wrestled, obviously, other indies and things like that, but I would say the first, like, real big test was wrestling Steve Ferrino in December of, 2012 at Pro Wrestling Extreme, and obviously, I was very nervous because this was the first time I was ever in the ring at that point with someone, you know, on that level, and so I was nervous, but it was a great learning experience, and Steve Ferrino is someone that I always, you know, admired and looked up to, and being able to step in the ring with him and have a match with him was just a huge honor. Even to this day, it stands out as one of my top matches I've ever had.
Awesome. And Steve Carino is a great guy. You know, he's been here in Winnipeg many times for the promotion I referee for, Premier Championship Wrestling, having some great feuds there. So everywhere he goes, he generates a lot of influence and motivation for talent like yourself to generate themselves further. And another big part of your career as well, you know, you had a little bit, you were in Full Impact Pro, you wrestled there a few times on and off throughout the years. Kind of just tell us about that. This is a bit, little bit of a bigger indie now, so that's why I asked this question. It's a little bit of, like, from AA to, let's say, A advanced baseball to, like, AA baseball, but in terms of wrestling. So what was it like to go to the next level to Full Impact Pro and work there and get that exposure?
That was incredible. The matches that I had at Full Impact Pro, they were dark matches, but it's still a great learning experience. And I know one of the matches that I had was a dark match. It was a 6-man tag. And one of my opponents on the other team was Moose Ojinaka, who is currently the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. This was when he was, I think, in his first year. So he's, you know, he wasn't signed anywhere yet. But, you know, everyone knew he was definitely on his way, and he was about to be. So being able to, you know, be on the opposite team with him was just another great learning experience for me. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And what about Riot Pro Wrestling? You know, you had a lot of matches there. Any experiences there that you can share?
Absolutely. Yeah, Riot, my first match for Riot was, I believe, in 2013 against a gentleman named CJ Connors, I believe. And then throughout the years, they've come and gone here and there, but I've been able to step in the ring there with Jesse Neal, who's former TNA Impact superstar. And then last year it was brought back. It went through a lot of different changes. It would, you know, it would stop and come back and so many times. But I'm currently the Riot Heavyweight Champion. I won it, I believe it was last July that they brought it back. I ended up winning the Riot Heavyweight Championship, which is, it's funny how things come for full circle, because I first contended for it back in 2013, came close a few times, and then finally won it last year. So looking forward to defending it again.
It doesn't have to be a specific number, but like in terms of chemistry, are there a handful of wrestlers that you can mention that you can just go in the ring and have a good match with?
Oh yeah, quite a few. Too many to name. I would say off the top of my head, he doesn't wrestle anymore, unfortunately, but his name is Rhett Guinness. And him and I have had so many battles over the years. I know he had a WWE tryout a few years back, and I think he ended up leaving wrestling due to, I think, concussion issues, unfortunately. But yeah, me and him had so many wars over the years. Another person I want to mention is D3, the Prince of Rome. You may have seen him on Monday Night Raw. He had a match with Braun Strowman, and he also had another match with Eric Rowan. But we train together, we've done many shows together, and we definitely push each other inside the ring and out. So whenever I step in the ring with him, it's always a test. But he makes me a better performer.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're kind of transitioning now to your WWE experience. You know, you obviously we never stop paying dues. But when you pay enough of them at a specific time, then there's still more to be paid, but you've earned a lot at the time. And, you know, timing comes into play as well in terms of this, in terms of location for yourself as well. Being a WWE extra many times is a great experience. But before going into that, kind of talk to us about Leo Rush and that dark match before with him. Because before Leo got signed by WWE, when he was with Ring of Honor and when he was with CWE, he was at the promoter's house, and I had a great chat with Leo. You know, we were talking for about 20 minutes about wrestling, watching Japanese tapes together. I think the guy's a really cool dude and a class act. Would you say you had the same experience with him?
Absolutely, 100%. So the thing is, that when you get booked as extra, a lot of times you don't know what you're doing until you get there. And of course, you know, as you know, in show business, in life in general, things change at the drop of a dime. So when I first got there that day, originally I was told that I did not have a match. But, you know, of course, I decided to. This is an old saying, and that's out of sight, out of mind. And in show business, you always want to be around, because the worst possible thing that can happen is if they need you and they can't find you. And, you know, you can, and no one is irreplaceable. You know, if they need someone and you're not there, hey, they'll go with someone else. So I decided to just stay in the locker room area, and I'm glad I did, because a couple minutes later, someone who I won't mention names, but someone who works behind the scenes told me that I was needed for a match, because the original opponent for Leo was too big for the role. And the guy they wanted originally was, like, I don't know, 6'5", and they wanted to go with someone closer to his height. And I know someone who works behind the scenes that vouched for me, that had wrestled me before, and he said, hey, Chico would be perfect for this match. And so, yeah, that's how that worked out. I mean, had I walked away or gone, you know, get something to eat or something, they couldn't find me, they probably would have picked someone else. So everything worked out. It fell in place. And when I found out the news that I was wrestling Leo, it was the perfect blend of nervous but excited, because this is a moment that I would, you know, dreamt about since I was a little kid. And so many people, everyone has that thought of what it'd be like to step through the curtain and walk down the ramp for the first time. And, you know, as you know, I mean, no matter how hard you work, no matter who you know, nothing is guaranteed. And so many people have, you know, not met that dream because of sometimes circumstances beyond our control. So when I knew that it was happening, I was definitely nervous, but at the same time, I was excited, especially when I found out that I was going to be stepping in the ring with someone as talented as Leo Rush. And yeah, it was an amazing experience. I mean, I think it was a solid match, and I wouldn't mind stepping in the ring with him again.
Like, how many roles did you do with WWE there? You know, like, they've gone to Florida many times, and NXT has been. So how many times would you say, like, a rough estimate of being in an extra role? We know you had two dark matches, but how many extra roles?
Honestly, I've done a lot of Raws and SmackDowns, not just in Florida, but I'm from Massachusetts, so a lot of times I would travel home to see family, and I would do, like, Raws and SmackDowns in, like, Rhode Island, New York, Connecticut, you know, here in Florida. Honestly, I've probably done over a dozen NXTs. And then when it comes to Raws, I've probably done, just to
That's pretty cool, you know, especially when you get your foot in the door and get your feet wet, and when you have that extra role, it's definitely an interesting opportunity at the biggest stage. Now, it kind of brings me to an interesting question, because before, you know, WWE always had competition, TNA, but right now, AEW is a strong product out there, and you worked Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, on a television match. You know, like, that's a pretty big deal. So to work in WWE and deal with that environment, what's it like dealing with the environment in AEW? Were there any differences, or was it all kind of the same?
I mean, like, I always approach every opportunity the same. I'm all business, and I have that laser focus, you know. So when I stepped out to the ring, like, people asked, what was it like wrestling with no people? And they say, you know, obviously I'm one of those people. I always feed off of the crowd. But, of course, being in the indies, I wrestled plenty of shows where there wasn't many people in the audience. So I was just so focused on the opportunity at hand that I didn't even think of, okay, there's no one here. I looked at it like, okay, this is a huge opportunity for my career and for my life. And, you know, I'm going to go at it with just as much effort as I do everything else. So either way, it was a great opportunity. The two matches I had at NXT were both dark matches, so they weren't aired on national TV, although I'm pretty sure they were filmed, and I did believe they used one of the clips from my match with Leo Rush for one of his video packages before he made his 205 debut. But knowing that the match with Jake Hager was going to be on national TV, it was, you know, obviously it's a huge the sink or swim moment for me, and I'm the kind of person, I always thrive off of pressure. You know, I always perform better when the stakes are raised that much higher. So they're both, obviously, both incredible experiences, but they're both very different at the same time, since, you know, one is being on national TV and one is a dark match where there's a crowd versus no crowd. So there was some similarities, some differences, but in both situations, I thrived off of the pressure, and they were both amazing opportunities.
And a lot of questions that my friends ask that don't even watch wrestling, I had a question today from multiple people that say, you know, watching wrestling with an empty crowd seems weird. Well, in opposition, you know, some people favor it. However, as a wrestler and a performer, you have to, what I learned as a ref from learning over wrestling from wrestlers working matches, you got to work the crowd in the beginning. You know, sometimes the first 5 minutes, the wrestlers are going to work the crowd, depends on the situation, but you can't do that. So that whole advantage, that's pretty much 60% of your component. When that's gone, how do you recover from that? What do you still get energy, and how do you find that? Like, in terms of adrenaline, because you know what I mean? If you work in front of a crowd, even if there's 10 people, you're going to get an adrenaline rush going to the ring. At least that's what I get. But if there's no crowd, are you still getting that adrenaline rush? Like, what is it on a wrestler's perspective?
I feel like if you're an outsider looking in, if you're a fan who's observing it and watching it, sometimes you can concentrate more on the in-ring abilities of the wrestlers, because sometimes, you know, fans, I know, for example, sometimes fans have hijacked shows before in which they start a certain chant, or sometimes they can, you know, obviously it can always add to a match, and oftentimes it does, but there's also been times where the fans have taken away from a match based on how they're reacting to it, good or bad. So I think from a fan's perspective, it allows you to concentrate more on the in-ring storytelling. As a performer, it definitely makes it more challenging. And I think I've always noticed is that it's so much easier to feed off of the adrenaline of the crowd. I mean, you can have the exact same match, one in front of no people, one versus in front of a whole crowd, and the one in front of people, you're probably not going to feel, you're going to feel that adrenaline rush so much more because, like you said, you feed off of the fans. But I think they're both challenging in their own ways. Either way, though, I always go into it with the same mentality. That's try to win, try not to lose, and put on the best performance I possibly can.
Right on, my man. You know, you've definitely wrestled around. We appreciate the time so far. You know, what do you see yourself in terms of wrestling for the next 5 years? Where do you want to go? You know, you've done WWE, some extra stuff there. Obviously, the answer is you want to get signed there, but do you have Japan on your mind, Mexico? Like, what's the next 5 years look like for Chico Adams, you think?
My bucket list. So I actually am currently licensed to compete in Kentucky. So I've already spoken with Ohio Valley Wrestling. So that's definitely huge on my bucket list. I was actually in the process of going there, you know, soon to wrestle. But of course, before NWA is very high on my list. One of my biggest non-WWE goals is to become NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I mean, to me, that's one of the most historical, prestigious titles, and that places you among the best of the best. I mean, to me, I know I'm not on that level yet, but that's one of my biggest goals in my career. Besides that, I would love to wrestle for Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, and most importantly, just to have fun, you know, just be safe, have fun, and yeah, make memories. Of course, my biggest goal would be to compete for the WWE, but I would be happy as long as I'm happy and I'm having fun and I'm making magic. That's what it's all about.
Well, you know, with your extra appearances and your dark matches, you did have a cup of coffee and a handful in the bigs, and definitely more coming your way for yourself. Where can people follow you on social media?
Well, thank you for asking. So I'm on Facebook. I'm approaching a 5,000 mark right now, so I can't add too many more people. Unfortunately, I don't have a like page yet, but I have my own YouTube channel. If you type in youtube.com/ChicoAdamsBMW, like the car, and then I'm on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is @TheChicoAdams, so it's T-H-E Chico Adams on Instagram and Twitter.
Right on. Well, Chico Adams, thank you for being on Jordan Garber Now.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
And wow, what can I say? That was nothing more than a great interview with Chico Adams. What an incredible interview. I have to... Oh, come on. What's this? You know, I was not expecting anyone else here. I was expecting Big Cliff and Chico Adams. I was not expecting anybody else. Who could this be? Like, I hate being interrupted like this. This is something I'm not cool with. I was just explaining what a great interview this was, and this is just an act of disrespect.
In January of 2015, at Primo's Wrestling Canada's Beyond Impact Mega Show, the company was born. I am Emerson Pritchard, founder and owner of that faction. Contrary to popular beliefs, we are still around. When wrestling is back to normal in the province of Manitoba, I will be bringing Northern Empire Wrestling to Winnipeg. It is the only First Nations-owned wrestling promotion in Canada, owned and operated by Shadow Extreme. This promotion has been seen on Vice TV and MTV Canada. Stay tuned for more. A whole lot more.
All right, there you go. Cool story, bro. You know, you could have easily messaged me and given me a time and a date to promote your podcast and your promotion and your program. You're going to sit here and waste my time. I want to have another discussion with you about this on a future episode. Clearly unacceptable. And now is time for our news portion of Jordan Garber Now. Now, I'm not going to go too much into wrestling news today. I just wanted to kind of look back and reflect from my first day in wrestling in 2008 with Border City Wrestling's Chuck Fader, and then going back to the business in 2013, right after graduating high school. You know, I really am excited to see the future of this podcast and the direction it's going in, especially after yesterday's advertising campaign in Indonesia, Madagascar, India, Brazil, and obviously the United States and Canada. I am looking to expand Jordan Garber Now's Winnipeg market, so we are going to bring great pleasure in bringing you guys some more great Winnipeg wrestling interviews, at least one segment and one interview per week to keep that local wrestling vibe going. Now, a lot of things are in this world of professional wrestling that are, you know, making people question a lot of things. You know, should wrestling be running? Should wrestling be not running? I think the time is right now is that there is hope, and I know there's hope, and I feel like wrestling fans should know there's hope. So if you're still watching television, wrestling on television and it's still on there, you know, I wouldn't really say complain about it. I'd say enjoy it as much as you can, because this is the first time in a very long time you're going to see this kind of environment for a professional wrestling show in an empty crowd. It may seem weird to watch, and it seems like it's unwatchable anymore at many points, because the crowd is what creates the energy. But just think of it as another dynamic and another addition to professional wrestling and a piece of history. We are a part of wrestling history, So why not absorb it and soak it up as much as we can while everyone is recovering from this horrible, horrible virus? Now, if you guys are listening at home, you guys can obviously listen back to the archives of Jordan Garber now. But the main point of this news update here, this little news portion, is to treat everybody the way you want to be treated. You know, you go to a wrestling show and, you know, you say something nice to someone, you know? Do something nice and kind, because it definitely turns someone's day around if they're having a bad one. Now, local wrestling still runs, WWE still runs the coronavirus thing, I believe, every 1 to 2 months with a limited capacity. So, you know, local wrestling fans, hang in there. We're all in this together. And Jordan Garber now is going to continue to be with you guys each and every Sunday here to bring you guys some great entertainment. Because this is truly what I take pleasure and pride in doing, as well as bringing you the news. So, pretty much in terms of wrestling news, I can say that there are wrestling shows running in Japan right now, so you can watch those as well. One of those promotions includes Stardom. So, just hang in there, guys. I know we're going to get through this and treat everybody with love and respect. And, of course, keep listening to the Jordan Garber Now podcast. This was your news segment on Jordan Garber Now. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Jordan Garber Now podcast today. You can listen to the program each and every single Friday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Stay safe and bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome Jordan Garber Now, hailing from Lee,
and Chico Adams makes his debut here on the Jordan Garber Now podcast. This guy has appeared at Full Impact Pro. He has been a WWE extra talent dozens of times. And he's also been an extra for WWE and Major League Wrestling, and most recently in 2020 AEW. Chico has had a cup of coffee at the major promotion. But what's going to happen next when he debuts on the Jordan Garber Now podcast? Chico Adams, up next, everybody.
This is a Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.